I invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 20. If you're using the Pew Bible, you can find that on page 880. To help orient you to where we are again, if you remember, we're just in the last couple of days. Christ has entered triumphantly into Jerusalem in that way that we celebrate as Palm Sunday. He's just days away from giving his life to pay the penalty for your sins and my sins, to bring reconciliation with the Father to any who would accept that life of his as a substitute for righteousness, as a substitute for wrath. Just a day or two ago, he entered into the temple and he drove out the money changers and those who were in the court of the Gentiles, conducting commerce. At the beginning of chapter 20, the scribes and the chief priests and the elders come up to him, challenging him, "By what authority do you do these things that you do?" You know, the Pharisees, of course, have long opposed him. In verse 27 of chapter 20, some members of that lesser-known religious sect, the Sadducees, they come up to him and they challenge him. All these different religious leaders, they've been opposing him over and over and over again. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the chief priests, the elders, they're all opposed to Jesus. Are you opposed to Jesus? All these people have been making allegations against him. They've been speaking words of condemnation against him. And of course, in just a few brief days, they'll make more false allegations against him. And they will condemn him to death. That's what we see demonstrated for us here in this table that's been set before you. The high cost that the Lord Jesus was willing to pay to save you, to redeem you. He was willing to give his life in exchange for yours, to give his life, to hold nothing back, but to give his very self, his blood, to pay the penalty that your sins and my sins deserve. In our passage today, Jesus has some condemning words of his own for those who have been opposing him. Our sermon passage today is Luke chapter 20, verses 45 through Luke 21, verse 4. Let's look at that now. Let's turn our attention to the reading of God's holy, living, and inerrant word. Luke writes and says, "And in the hearing of all the people, he, Jesus, said to his disciples, 'Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and love greetings in the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation.' Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box, and he saw a poor widow put in just two small copper coins. And he said, 'Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on.'" Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is God's word for you today. The grass may wither and the flower may fade, but the word of the Lord will endure forever. Pray with me again, please. Lord God, we do thank you for your enduring word. Lord, through your word and your spirit, enable us to endure. Enable us to have a faith that endures. Enable us to have a love for you above all else to endure. Be pleased to accomplish this in our lives, Lord. Well, in this passage, we see a great contrast. Luke gives us this great contrast between a group of people whom Christ says devour widows and a poor widow woman whom Christ commends. We have these false teachers, these false leaders who enrich themselves off of the poor, and we have this poor woman who Christ commends for her devotion to God. Given that Christ gives this warning in our passage today, it seems that this was a much needed message in the first century to the people of God at that time. Sadly, of course, this is also an important message for our time and for us as well. Last week I made mention that a profession of faith alone does not save you, but that only a true possession of faith saves. In our passage today, we see that just because someone may have a religious profession, they do a certain religious function, a certain work, they're scribes, they're a leader, they're a teacher of God's people, that doesn't mean, although they have a profession of being religious, that does not mean that that person themselves is godly. Because Christ says in our passage today that there are some who are more interested in themselves, more interested in self than they are in the blessing of those people in their charge, or in giving glory to God. And so Christ gives us this warning that he does in this passage today. And as he gives his warning, he says that you should look out for certain evidences. Evidences of godliness and humility in your religious leaders. You should look for evidence of far more of an other person focus in their lives. And you should beware if you see in them more of a self-centered focus, a focus upon themselves. Christ says, be on the lookout for those who seem to really want to be noticed, for those who really want to be seen as being all that. Beware of those who long to be noticed as being important. Jesus says, first, beware of those who like to walk around in long robes. Beware of those who like to adorn themselves with religious accoutrement. Beware of those who want to be noticed, of those who want to have their religiosity on display. And there's actually a special kind of evil in this. Because historically, the special clothing that was worn by the leaders of God's people, that clothing was meant to hide the person and to instead to help focus the people's attention upon the Lord. But there are some that Christ says here who want to have that attention be focused upon themselves more than upon the Lord. Rather than to have their people be reminded of the glory of God because of what the religious leader was wearing, there are some religious leaders who prefer to have the attention be upon them. And in that, they are glory stealers. And that's a great evil. And Christ cautions his disciples to beware of anyone representing themselves as a leader of God's people who prefer to have the attention be upon them rather than upon the glory and greatness of the Lord. Some long to draw attention upon themselves by what they wear, Christ says. Others long to draw attention to themselves by their long prayers. That's what Christ says in verse 47. And he says that they do this for a pretense. And really it's for reason of pretense that these people do all of these behaviors that Christ references in this passage. The definition of pretense is an attempt to make something that is not true appear to be true, or a false display of feelings, attitudes, or intentions. And some false religious leaders and teachers will do this, Christ says, through their long prayers. And here he's particularly referring to long public prayers. I was reminded this week of how some of the most powerful prayers in all of Scripture are actually very short prayers. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. But some long to draw attention to themselves, and they long to have others think highly of them by praying long public prayers. Pray for me, please. This passage has weighed heavy on me this week. In addition to this passage that we've had before me this week as I was preparing for the message, Amy and I are doing mentored sonship. We're receiving special discipleship training from our friends at Surge. And this week our lesson was on prayer. Why we do it, how we do it, what our heart attitude is when we pray, what our heart attitude might be when we don't pray. The Spirit's been challenging me this week over how it's so easy for me to stand in front of you on a Sunday morning and to pray sometimes quite long prayers. But yet it can be so hard for me to pray during the week sometimes, even oftentimes, when I'm by myself and no one would know if I'm praying or not but the Lord. Please pray that I would not be like these evil, false teachers whom the Lord condemns in this passage today. Some long to draw attention to themselves by their pious garb, long robes, or by their pious gab, their long prayers. Others long to draw attention to themselves as they long to be seen as being important through long greetings. Christ says that some false teachers love to receive greetings in the marketplace. And they love to be given the best seats in the synagogue or to be granted places of honor at feasts. These evil, false teachers and leaders, they long to receive the praise and the attention and the adulation of people. Everything about them says, notice me. Pay attention to me. As one of my mentors, Scotty Smith, and his mentor before him, Jack Miller, the founder of the ministry that we know as Surge, says, we can be such approval sucks. We so want the approval of others. We so want to be noticed. We want to be thought well of. We want to receive commendation. Approval sucks. The height of the self-centeredness and the self-focus and the being consumed, self-consumed, is displayed in these false teachers also through their willingness to consume others. Some of these false evil leaders devour others, Christ says. Like our adversary, the devil, who prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, these false teachers can be like that also, Christ says in verse 47. As some even devour widows' houses, Christ says. Some are so evil and so self-centered that they long to enrich themselves at the expense of others. And this is, remember, these are God's leaders Christ is talking about. And they so long to enrich themselves that they'll do that even at the expense of some of the most vulnerable, including those whom the Lord has placed in a position of being under that person's care as a shepherd. And that's such an evil. These people are willing even to devour widows, to devour widows' houses. And do you see how utterly opposite this is from how God's leaders are to be treating others, especially those who are at such risk, those under their care, those also particularly here who've experienced such great loss, such heartache. Now, as we transition from chapter 20 to chapter 21, and remember, these chapter breaks aren't there in the original manuscripts. As we move from chapter 20 to chapter 21, we move from those who have a false profession of religion, those who deserve a great condemnation, and Christ turns our attention to a widow to whom he gives great commendation. To the false teachers, the scribes, Christ gives great condemnation, but to this widow, he gives great commendation. In contrast to the false teachers who seek to enrich themselves, this widow is said to be poor. But although she's poor, that doesn't keep her from giving all that she has to the Lord. Now perhaps Christ knew this. Christ knew that she was poor, knew that she was giving all that she had. Perhaps he knew this through his omniscience as the divine Son of God. Or maybe in some other reason he comes to know this. But nonetheless, this widow gives out of her poverty. Though she is poor, she is rich towards God. And may I commend to you such an approach towards God for you and I as well. That we would be rich towards God. And I thank God that so many of you are. So many of you are so very generous in giving of your treasure, of your time, of your talents to the Lord. In contrast to the false religious leaders who deserve condemnation and who love and long to be noticed, this woman demonstrates just the opposite. You know, I wonder even if she chooses this very moment when all of the people there in that area of the temple, all of those people's eyes are turned upon Jesus. Does she purposely choose this moment when Jesus is talking to his followers after he's just turned from condemning the Pharisees, the chief priests, the elders, the Sadducees over their opposition? All the people are focused upon Jesus standing up to this opposition. And as all the attention is over here, I wonder if it's at that time that this little woman walks over and drops her 2 coins into the offering box. Doing so, hoping perhaps not to be noticed. Everyone's turned towards Jesus as he's talking, as he's teaching. Here's her opportunity to slip in her offering unnoticed. The temple had very large receptacles into which people would deposit their offerings to the Lord. Verse 1 of chapter 21, Luke says that as he's speaking, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. It may often be that when some who were rich put in their offering, they did so in a way that drew attention to themselves. But I envision this poor widow woman doing just the opposite. As she subtly tries to slip in her 2 coins in a way so as to not be noticed. Perhaps out of a sense of shame that she couldn't give more. But Christ notices. And does Christ condemn her because she only put in 2 little copper coins? Christ does not condemn her, although her gift is small. But he commends her because of her heart for the Lord, her devotion to the Lord. Christ notices her gift, her offering that she makes to him. And friends, the Lord notices our contributions towards his kingdom as well. And there's no reason for you to have to feel shame if it's difficult for you to put much into the offering plate. The Lord is far more interested in your heart than he is your offering. Now, yes, of course, the Lord does still give to his purposes. The Lord calls upon us to give from our hearts. Acts 20:35, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, who he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. 2 Corinthians 9:7, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. We give out of thankfulness to the Lord for what he's given to us. We talked about that in our adult Sunday school today. And Scripture tells us that each is to give, but each is to give freely, as he decides in his own heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Your giving to the Lord is a matter between you and him. But we do acknowledge, we do remember that the Lord does call upon us to give to his purposes and to do so generously. Now let me say this about our giving. You know, in earlier times, in biblical times, it was common for a person to be paid on the day in which that work that they did was performed. And God's people were encouraged in Scripture to give of their tithes each Sabbath day. And of course, that's still a great principle for us to live by in our time as well. But you know, nowadays, many of us are paid every 2 weeks. Or maybe once a month. I want to encourage you to not feel guilty, to not put anything in the offering plate as the plate is passed around each week. We have many people who give an offering check once a month. Others give their tithes and offerings even less frequently, but still faithfully, still generously. And that's okay. Give in a manner that you feel the Lord has led you to give, as long as it's got a consistency with scriptural prescription, but there's no need for shame or embarrassment in what you may put into an offering plate or if you let that offering plate pass by. That's your business between you and the Lord. And I give thanks that Newport Church is a loving church that does not judge when that plate is passed and someone does not frequently be seen as putting a check into it. We've got people, I know it's not uncommon for the plate to be set on the table or set in the pew, and before worship service even begins, somebody has placed an envelope in it. So do as you desire to do and let others do the same. Give thanks to the Lord for how he enables you to give. And don't worry about how others might give. Let me say this too as we consider this passage. Recognize how Jesus has a special love for and how he honors the poor. Jesus has a special love for the disenfranchised. Special love for the hurting. Special love for widows. For widowers too. And so should we. We remember James 1:27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: visit the orphans and widows in their affliction. And Isaiah 1:17. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct opposition. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's case. The false teachers and the scribes who enrich themselves off of the poor and the widows, they want to be noticed. They want to be valued. They want to be seen as being important. But brothers and sisters, we do not sinfully need to seek those things. And we don't need to seek to satisfy those sinful desires. We don't need to long to be noticed by the world as having significance. Why not? Because, friends, you have been noticed by the Creator and the Sustainer of the universe. You have been noticed by the Lord God Almighty. And He values you. He values you profoundly. And if you ever doubt that, just look upon this table. Remember this table. And remember the words of 2 Corinthians 8:9. And remember how the Lord sees you as being significant. 2 Corinthians 8:9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though He was rich, yet for our sake He became poor, so that you through His poverty might become rich." Rich spiritually, not materially necessarily. Rich spiritually, through Him giving you reconciliation with the Father, something that no amount of money could ever buy. But He gave you reconciliation with the Father through His life and death given in exchange for you. Jesus held nothing back. Like the widow, He gave all that He had to give. The scribes whom Christ condemned, the false teachers, the false leaders, do you see their problem? They weren't humble before the Lord. They weren't humble before the Lord. They weren't humble before other people. They longed to be seen by the people as being holy and religious and significant. But what would they not do? They were so caught up in their own self-interest, so caught up in wanting to be seen as being important, but they refused to look upon Jesus as being that to them. The scribes say, "Look at me." But I say, look at this table. Look at this table and see what the Lord Jesus has done for you. Look at this table and see His love. Look at this table and see the love of the Father. A love so great that He was willing to give of Himself, to give His very best, to give His one and only Son, so that you might know a relationship with Him for an eternity. The scribes say, "Look at me." But scriptures say, "Look at Jesus." Hebrews 12:2, "Fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning His shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." You are so valuable to God the Father, so valuable to God the Son, that Jesus would count it a joy to give of Himself fully, to die for you, to bring you into a state of peace with the Father. I'd like to call the elders down as we prepare to partake of communion. Made mention of the sonship training that Amy and I are participating in. I commend that to you. If you would like to avail yourself of that, please talk to us. We had a memory verse this week, and it was a verse that's familiar to many of you and dear to you as well. I know that it is for many of you. And that verse speaks of how much the Lord values you. Because the Lord values us in this way, we don't need to sinfully find value in how the world sees us. The verse is Zephaniah 3:17. "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by His love. He will exult over you with loud singing." Jesus condemned the scribes for their faithfulness. We remember that on the cross, Jesus Christ took the condemnation that you and I deserve because of our sinfulness. He took that condemnation upon himself, and he transferred to us the commendation that he so richly deserves from the Father. Zephaniah 3:14-15. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. Pray with me. Lord God, we thank you that you are this God. You have this kind of love for us. Father, a love so great that you would hold nothing back from us. Lord, the original sin, Adam and Eve believed that you were holding something back from them. You gave them everything in the world there was to enjoy. You said you could have it all except for this one thing. And they did not find satisfaction with that which you freely gave. They did not trust your heart, but they wanted something different. But you are the God who gives the best to us. And you say, receive, take, eat, drink. We thank you, Jesus, that you offer yourself to us as our food, as our drink. And you promise that all who see you for who you are, all who long to be in a relationship with you and the Father through the Spirit for an eternity, that you will satisfy us in ways that no other longing in this world can satisfy. You say, come to me. Believe in me. And you will never again thirst. You'll never again thirst or hunger for feeling significant in the eyes of the world. For you are significant in the eyes of the Father and of me. Lord God, we pray that as we gaze upon this meal, as we receive the bread, as we receive the cup in our hands, Lord, we pray that we will be reminded of the value that you have placed upon us. And then, Lord, by the power of your Spirit working in us, cause us to be able to value you above all else, to value your sacrifice, to value your many gifts that you are to us. Lord God, we pray that you take these common elements of bread and juice and wine and set them apart for your holy purposes. We pray this in your glorious name. Amen. Well, on that night before Jesus would go to the cross, that night when he was betrayed, the night before he would demonstrate his willingness to hold nothing back, but to give all that he had for your sake and for mine, he had a meal with his friends. You remember it. How during the meal he took some bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Take and eat." Likewise, also he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant, poured out in my blood for the remission of sins. Take and drink. Do this often in remembrance of me." Friends, here we see the offering of Jesus Christ, the ransom price that he paid to redeem you and to reconcile you to the Father. Take and eat. If you are trusting the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation and you are a member of an evangelical church, this meal is for you if this is your faith. I want to remind you, the outermost cup of the liquid is juice. The inner two rows are wine. And then the innermost row of crackers are gluten-free, and the others are regular. Take as you desire. Please hold, and we'll all partake together.